Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. Once again, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone in here to the Clay County Corner, where we come to you live and in living color each Thursday morning on your radio dial here on WVFB 101.5 Kicks Country. And it's a pleasure coming into your home, and we're grateful that you allow us to come into your home. And we really appreciate you, and we appreciate especially all the folks that make this show possible each Thursday morning, that being the Clay County Chamber of Commerce and the Three Star Committee over there, and all the folks that advertise for any type of thing going on here at in and around Clay County and Salina, Hermitage Springs, Pine Hill, Brimstone, all of the little communities around. I know we got folks listening around, got folks listening out riding in their vehicles. I know a lot of our telephone linemen and electrical linemen, they like to listen to us while they're out on the road traveling. And it sure is a pleasure being here. And we've got a whole bunch of things coming up here in Clay County, and especially here in Salina the next few weeks. We're going to be talking more about as we go along. We've got our heritage celebration coming up the first weekend in August, and we've got lots and lots of activities scheduled for that. And so we've got just a whole bunch of things coming up, and we've got some things going on there. I know this weekend we have a health and safety day down at the park at Women's Building. And tried to get those folks out, but they're off at some kind of convention this week somewhere out in Texas. But come down and check that. I think it starts around 10 o'clock, and they've got all kinds of freebies and things. I think maybe some back-to-school stuff for youngsters. So go down and check that out. And then I think next weekend our merchant tour around the square, I've got some things scheduled to do here. But right now, let's take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why making Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Making Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information, 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. We're sitting here this morning. Mayor Reagan's come up to join us this morning. I know we've got quite a few things going on. I know he's got quite a few things to fill us in on. And of course, we always try to wander off on some of our stories and tales before we get done. It's always a pleasure having you here with us. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning. Thank you so much for the invitation. I appreciate it.
Well, what we got this morning? We're just going to start right in on you this morning.
Well, we've got a lot of rain out there. I know that.
And, but you said you hadn't had to make any volunteer fire.
No, we haven't. And that's a good thing, because I just got off the phone before I come up here with our EMA director, and he said that nothing other than the low-lying areas, you know, that had some of the little creeks and stuff. It was getting close to coming out of the banks, and some of them was and everything. But hopefully we are expecting another inch of rain or so before this last front comes through, and then hopefully everything will start settling down for us and everything. So we had in our park over there, our park always, you know, is a low-lying area.
Right.
And we had one of the orange barrels that supposed to be for safety. It got caught up in the water and got down in one of the cupboards and got it stopped up. So we got it fished out and everything, and then now the water is receding down and letting it go on into the river.
Look pretty much full down there this morning. It looks like it may have put a little water on the marble yard this morning.
It was getting close. It was. It was getting on up in there and everything. And the only other place I know that he mentioned was out here at the assistant living or the nursing home out here. They've had having some of the city has took their pumper truck out there, and they're pumping some water around it, getting it off and putting it over into the ditch that drains it on down through down toward the sewer plant and everything. So they're getting that took care of, and I appreciate them very much and everything. They're Johnny on the spot this morning.
You know, that's one of the spots, you know, of course, very, very, very important facility here, and that it is a kind of bit of a dangerous spot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we certainly want to always keep an eye on that area as well as all the others out there, too.
I think the floors in there have got wet maybe a few times over the years.
They have. It's come through the front doors there a time or two, and but they've worked on it quite a bit and everything,
yeah.
So I think they...
they've got most of it diverted away.
Yeah, I think they've done doing a good job and everything. I appreciate
the
city.
They need to get some of that tape and tape them doors up that old boy showing on television all the
time. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good stuff, ain't it?
Yeah, it must be.
Evidently, yeah.
And I did notice on the outage thing that maybe there was some electrical outage down in Red Boiling Springs for Tri-County. I think that's only maybe two or three houses here in Salina.
Okay, it may be. I know the internet service is down there at the office when I left a while ago. Squeaky, she is the guru, I guess, when it comes to the IT work part of the making sure that the power supply is shut off and then the reset button is hit and everything. So she is in there working on that when I left and everything, and I'm sure that she'll get that back up and going shortly.
Like electricity must have flashed in town last night or something, because my computer was off here this morning.
Yeah, well, he's a pretty good, as the old fella says, a pretty good tater wagon come through about 4:30 this morning.
They had some big taters rolled off that wagon
this morning.
Absolutely,
they were.
Okay, Mayor, now let's talk about what's going on.
Okay, we got, well, there's a lot of things happening, and right now is a busy time for county government because we're right in the middle. We've been in the middle, and hopefully we're heading toward the home stretch now of the budget process. And I know Donna's been working very diligently the last few weeks and days, for
yeah,
sure.
She still is alive. Even though a lot of people haven't seen her in the last day.
Yeah, she's alive, very much so, and I'm thankful for that, because she's really been working hard on trying to get her revenue and stuff all done to where that she can compile it together and get something to where that we can get it put in the paper, and then she turns it over to Carol, and then Carol puts it into the floor mat to where it goes before the county commission for them to look at it, and they'll have a budget to vote on. Hopefully, we're planning August the 14th is when we'll be voting on the fiscal year budget and everything. So,
well, you know, I've always thought you were the one that did all that. Caught all the mistakes and all those kind of things.
No, I mean, I'm there, and I'm usually the one that when something ain't looking right or something, Donna, when I hear her say Dale Reagan, I know there's something up and everything, but no, the girls down there, they're God sent to me, and I certainly appreciate them. Donna works a lot of hours on this. I know a lot of people don't understand that, and I didn't understand it, but it's a lot of hours goes into the process of getting a fiscal year budget done with your expenditures. And then you have to make sure that we got all your, and Thomas, you've been right in the middle of some of that,
yeah,
with grants and stuff that you get. She has to know what kind of grants you're getting, how much money that you're going to be getting in this next coming fiscal year, because that has to be put into the budget to where that when the time comes for you to spend that money out, she's got to have that in the budget in order for it to be spent out. And it also shows how that we project, and a budget is just a projection, that how that we are beginning and how we're going to end and everything. So she wants to get all the grants from all the different department heads, because a lot of departments applies for grant funding. Sheriff Department applies for grant funding. You apply for grant funding. The chamber out there, Doc, he applies for several grants through the ECD portion of it, and also through tourism. And there's just a lot. And Jamie Colson, I know you mentioned something about the upcoming health fair that they're going to be having this coming weekend, I guess, over at the park. And they get a lot of grant funding and everything. So the opioid settlement that we got this past, it's been an ongoing for the last two or three years, but we finally got some settlements that are coming in to all the counties, not just here in Tennessee, but across the nation. And Jamie, our drug coalition, is the one that's going to be administering all that. So she is, she has to compile and get a spreadsheet together about how much, because these settlements will be, they're not just a one-time settlement.
Right.
Some of those settlements will pay out over the next 18 years. So there's a spreadsheet that she gets, that we get from the attorneys and that have put this all together, and shows how much money that we'll be getting this coming fiscal year and all that and everything. So Donna has to know all that when she goes to putting all this budget stuff together, to see how much revenue we got coming in versus our expenditures that's going to be going out, and hopefully everything will balance out for us.
Okay, you know, and talk a little bit about that grant process, something I guess, you know, most folks don't understand, especially those that aren't directly involved in it. When, like the grant we got here for the courthouse, that money, the state doesn't, they don't just sit down and write us a check for $85,000 and send it to Clay County for them to use. It has to go in your budget, and you've got the cover until next June.
And that's
all of the grants.
And that's the thing about it. I mean, we have to make sure that we make the appropriations that are in there to cover those grants. That's why she needs to know exactly what, you know, and then when we have to, we pay that out with reimbursables. Most of them, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them will work with us real well, because like if you, for instance, your grant that you got up here for the historical courthouse where you're going to be doing a lot of work and stuff, when we get that invoice, most of the vendors and stuff will say, okay, you know, we're going to give you, you know, that invoice, we're turning it in, but we understand it's probably going to take us, you know, 10 to 15 to 20 days before we get our money back. We turn right around and send that into the state, and the state will get that invoice, and then the state will ACH the money back into the account of the county, and then Donna can cut that check to the vendor and everything. A lot of them will. Some of them can't, you know, float that.
Yeah.
And for those that can't, then we got to turn around once you get that invoice, and it's been properly signed off on. In this case, it would be you. yes, this work has been performed, and I approve this, so we need to send this in, we need to pay this bill and everything. So we're waiting on that state money to come back in to fill back in that hole of the where that we took it out of and everything.
And I think there's some times where, like I'm not sure if it's that way on the jail thing, where that you actually have to borrow money. The county has to borrow money for a certain amount of time, and then they pay you back on those things. Am I wrong on that? Or
you talking about the new jail?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have what we'll be doing on that is an interim financing. In other words, when we go into construction on building the jail, we got the loan through USDA.
Right. But so they have loaned you the money already.
Yes and no.
Okay.
Okay. It is obligated.
Right. Okay.
That money is obligated to this project. Okay. So what we do is they encourage us. It's just like a homeowner. You
right.
go out and build a
right.
house. You
right.
go to a bank and you get a construction loan.
Right.
And that bank will cover that cost when the contractor sends you in bills and stuff. You got money there that you paid to those contractors. At the end of that project, at the end of your house or whatever, then the bank will pay off that your finance whoever you're getting your long-term loan from.
Right.
They will pay that interim finance loan off and then set your payments up. So that's the same way with this USDA. We've got to do a interim financing. And right now we're looking at going with the municipal loan pool that they do that. And with the state, well, it's Tennessee Municipal Loan Pool. And they do this all the time, so that's probably more than likely that's the route we're going to be taking and everything. And what they do, Thomas, they'll go out and they'll look at all the other banks, even our local banks, and anybody out there that wants to participate in it, and they try to pick out the best one that's got the lowest interest rate for us, because our loan through USDA is a 3.5%, and it's set up over 40 years. So the interest rate right now is not that low anywhere,
right.
mostly, but they will pick out the best rate for us to do this interim financing and everything. So once this project's over with, then the USDA will step in and they'll pay that bank off.
Yeah.
And then our payments will be set up, stretched out over for the next 40 years, which last time we figured it and everything, we're going to have a debt payment of around $300,000 a year. For the payment of that new jail. And while we're speaking on the new jail, unless you're needing to take a break.
Let's take a break.
Okay.
We'll talk about
okay.
that.
Okay, all right, thank you.
I know there may be one or two people interested in that.
Sure.
We'll be right back.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked. That's Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Mayor Reagan was just getting ready to talk about the new jail a little bit.
I know that this has been an ongoing project ever since I've been in office, and it seems like every year we get a little closer and a little closer, and we... I know the sheriff is gets aggravated, and I mean he has. I understand why, but we had a schedule set for to go out to bid, and we thought we were on track, and it's changed a little bit on us, and what our proposed schedule was that July the 10th would put the project out to bid. They had to do some more in-house changes. I don't know to what great detail. I don't think it was a whole lot. But anyway, it was going to go out to bid last Friday. I think Friday was the 14th, I believe it was. But anyway, and we thought that's when it was going to hit the portals. And that's what they do now. They put it on a portal that all these contractors and stuff gets on, and that's how they go, and they can pull their, the specs and all that off of that instead of doing the architect and engineering group, you know, doing hard copies and mailing them out to them. They go on there and get them and everything. So it contractor or our engineer and architect firm, which is Cope and Associates, they were fixing to, I guess they'll say it is, pull the trigger and put it on the portal. They contacted USDA, and they told them, nope, hold off a little, hold off. We've got to review them again before you do that. Thought we'd done had all that done, but evidently there's something, I don't know what it was, I had a text from Cope and him this morning, and they said they was reaching back out to USDA to find out just exactly, you know, when that we can put that on the portal. So every day that we go over that projected schedule pushes it out a little bit longer, yeah, and everything, because we certainly got to have, there's a time frame in there that we give, make sure that all the contractors out there has a sufficient amount of time that they can look at this thing and you know, and get a good idea of what they're, you know, hopefully they're going to be bidding on. So I don't know yet exactly. Hopefully here in the next few days, I can't see it to be a long period of time. I hope it ain't, unless something has changed and we'll be hitting the portal and everything, and so we can get some, because we have, some contractors that are interested in looking at our project, and that tickles me to death, because right now it's hard to get contractors, and that's one of the things I know me and the sheriff has been uneasy about and everything. So, but it seems like we have got maybe two or three contractors that's interested in looking at this project, so that makes us feel a little bit better and everything. We got there for them. And once that happens, then they have a pre-bid meeting, and that's what that consists of. Those contractors that are interested in it has an opportunity to come up and go down there where our projected site is, and to look at it and get an idea about how the ground lays and all that kind of stuff, you know, to kind of give them an idea of what they're going to be working with and everything. And then after that, then they have we'll have a bid opening. Our projected schedule was to be August the 9th for our bid opening. Of course, we know that's going to be pushed out a little bit now. And then after the August commission meeting, our next meeting of the county commissioners will be September the 11th because of Labor Day weekend hitting. And that's whenever we were going to take it before the county commission to, if the bids come within our budget and everything, and then the county commission would select a contractor to do the bid, to do that project. And then after that, in October the 2nd was our projected date to notice to give that contractor, okay, you've got it, now it's time for you to go to work and everything. So we've got the schedule, we just, it's going to be shifted out just a little bit and everything. So wanted to bring everybody up to date on that because I know that, you know, we made the announcement that it's supposed to went out on the portal on July the 10th and it's not there. And but it's hopefully good Lord's will and everything, it's going to be there. And I'm just hoping and praying, you know, that this thing will come within our budget. We had the $7.5 million that we set up about 4 years ago, 3 years, I guess, now, with USDA, and we were hoping that would be enough to take care of it. But, of course, inflation and everything has hit us, and that's probably not going to be the case yet. So we're looking in the neighborhood around $10 million, something like that. But we've been blessed in that we have got a little over $2 million in our debt service. So hopefully, you know, we can offset some of that to where that we can go on with our 7.5 and still have the money, you know, in our debt service to make sure that we can make this thing happen and everything. And that's a result of that we started the increase in the wheel tax back in, I guess that was 2022, 21, I guess it was, whenever, maybe it's 2020. I can't remember. Time gets away from us on it. But in April of that year is whenever we started doing the increase in the wheel tax. That money has went into a special account or a reserved account for the jail, $28 of that. And I know you've heard me say this many, many times, but that's the way it is, and it's not changed. $28 of that increase in that $50 increase that we went up from a wheel tax from 25 to 75 goes to the debt service, and the remaining $22 is going into the operational cost of the new jail.
Okay. And I know, like I said, the inflation of the thing. And also, I know a lot of the contractors that normally may have bid on some of these things aren't doing that anymore because of the fact that they can't find laborers anymore to do. And so I know it's a tough time for any type of major building right now.
Labor and supply demand, you know, has got to where it's just, you know, I know that we've got two ambulances that we've got ordered. One through a CDBG, and the other one we're getting get it through our ARP funding and everything. And the last one that we got on order, they told us it was going to be at least 18 to 20 months in order to get that ambulance and everything. So you're looking at, you know, nearly 2 years to get an ambulance. The other one, the first one we got on order, I think we're due to get it maybe April of 2024. So that's just a supply and demand. That's
right.
Where everything is, you know, really got the COVID and hit everything, and it shut just about everything down. And it's not like you can just go back and open the valve up and everything fills right back in. It just anytime you run something plumb out, it takes a long period of time for certain things to get flowing back in and filling back up and everything. So that along with, like you said, labor, it's just, and that's not just with contractors, it's everybody. I mean, we've all, we're struggling as far as finding labor, you know, even at the county level. I know the sheriff has a hard time all the time, you know, finding help, as well as the ambulance service and even our solid waste department and everything, you know, finding help and everything. So, but Lord be our helper, we'll continue to battle this ship.
Oh, okay, and I do know I went down the other day to renew a license, and the state has taken their little gift away from us again. I got very quiet. I don't know how many people knew or noticed when you went down to get your license, your stickers, that the state had kind of waived their fees for a little while.
For a year, yeah.
I don't think I ever heard much of them. Hey, they have an announcement of any kind telling folks that.
No, it was they waived the fee of the state fee started last year, and it ended this year July the 1st, June the 30th.
Yeah.
Was whenever it so hopefully you got last year you got your tags and everything, so you took advantage of that amount and everything.
I know I went down there when they handed me my bill and I looked and I said, golly, that's the best bargain I've had this year, I believe.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, we ought to sit and look at that. I said, for whatever it is, $75 or $100, we're getting permission to drive our vehicle anywhere in this great country we want to go.
Yeah.
I said, now, is there not a better bargain than that?
Yeah, that was a good, and I appreciate
roads,
it.
And roads, most of them we don't have to pay to get on.
And that was you go back and you go to looking at it, I don't know what the figures would be, but I mean, that'd be an enormous figure that the state, you know, didn't collect over just all the vehicles in the state of Tennessee that they did registrations for and everything.
Right.
They waived that cost and everything. So.
Okay, I'm going to read the birthdays.
Sure.
And we ain't got a whole bunch of them today. We've got three birthdays today. We have Mr. Owen Browning celebrating a birthday, Eli Emberton, and Zeke Adams. And now these three folks have a whole lot better chance of winning the prize than the guy that whatever his odds were that won the $1 billion last night out in California.
Yeah,
you've got a 1 in 3 here today.
So yeah.
I think his is 1 in, I don't know how many million.
I don't know. That's just unheard of. But I guarantee you one of those guys right there is going to win the birthday today.
Yeah, and you know that guy, he may have a cousin or something in Tennessee that...
Well, yeah, could do it. You can't
know
tell.
You don't know how many relatives you got until they announce you want a big bunch of money.
Exactly, yeah.
Let's take a little short break. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Okay.
And we still got budget to talk about, and I know you've got a pretty good little list over there, so we'll be right back.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right. Let us proceed.
Okay, one of the things that, like I said, you know, our planning, our meetings have been changed around a little bit because of the budget process, and it usually is always this time of the year. The next meeting of the County Commission planning will be July the 31st, which that'll be a week from this coming Monday, I believe it is. And so, that's when they'll be given their agenda for the August 14th meeting. And one of the things that legislature had changed some laws, and we've always tried our very best to do that, because I mean our meetings are open, are public, open to the public. But they have got some wording in there in the legislation now that we have to add in there that during the meetings that we have a section in there for public comment. And so we'll be doing that. We've got a policy. We have to adopt a public comment policy. In other words, we got to come up, because we want it to be done in orderly
yeah.
fashion. And there'll be a way that if you want to make a comment, and it's to comment on whatever's on the agenda.
Right.
That, you know, that's
nothing
agenda.
Else. It's not where you come down there, you dirty linen out.
Yeah, no, it's whatever the commissioners are going to be acting on. That's the public comment.
Well, you know, that announcement has always kind of been there, but
yeah.
I guess now they've got it worded to where.
Yeah, they wanted to make sure that you know that to keep down, and I guess, you know, we've not had that problem here, but I mean, a lot of places they have had problems where the meetings get out of control, and a lot of people, you have a lot of different speakers that on that same subject, so they leave that up to the local level to come up with a policy of how you want to do that and everything. So,
well, I know we watch the news and we see, you know, back this past year, every local meeting and state meeting, even the state legislature,
yeah.
that we had folks that wanted to stand up and talk about
and
a dog crossing the road in front of their house or something or other.
And I don't know that that's what steered this, but it could possibility be that steered it to where this was one of the last things that a lot of times when the General Assembly goes out of session, there'll be right before, a few days before they adjourn, there'll be stuff that they'll go in there and everything. And so this was one of those things that I feel like, you know, got put in there, and which is it's okay. I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's because we want to be transparent. We want the public to know.
There's always been that invitation at the county.
Yes, absolutely.
Come by and
but this is a way, and when the policy, we'll have a resolution on there that will have a policy order, and the commissioners will have to approve that policy, or they'll change it and want to do something else. But a certain amount of time that each individual have, like maybe 2 to 3 minutes to speak and things such as that, and then you have to make your request known a certain time before the meeting so that we'll know exactly who you are and what time and what you're wanting, which one of the subjects you're wanting to talk about and everything. So that, as well as making sure the public has access to know when the meeting is and what's going to be on the agenda. So that was another thing that they come up with. So what we've done, we try to, you know, make sure that, you know, that our meetings are, it's on a continuous basis, that it comes out in the paper, you know, that
right.
that we have meetings and stuff. But anyway, we have done a little Facebook or a little face page. We've not got a website set up yet, but hopefully that's going to be something in the works that we can do later on down the road. But we have got a little Facebook page set up to where that Carol would be putting the calendar on there of the upcoming meetings and notices and things such as that, and it'll be just only for informational only.
That's what I'm saying. This is not going to be a place where you can come in and
do your squawking.
No, it's going to be...
It's strictly business.
Yeah, it's information only, and so that the public will know what's going on, is coming up on the meetings and stuff. And also, outside the government complex down there at the office, I've got, we put up a little, I call it a shadow box type thing that, you know, it's behind glass. That and it's headlined county commission meetings, and she will also put that in there and update that because a lot of people comes in and out of that building down there just about all the time, and so you have the opportunity to look at that. And if you do want a copy of the agenda, you have a right for that too. You just have to contact our office, and we'll get you that. But the thing about it is, and we're blessed. You know, we got two papers here in the county, but the thing about it that a lot of folks don't understand, especially in bigger areas, we don't have a daily paper.
Right.
We have a weekly paper, and in order for you to get something in that weekly paper, you got to get it to them like on that Friday. Or by the latest, by noon on Monday, for it to come out on Wednesday. So a lot of times during the 2 weeks of whenever we give the county commission their agenda on that planning meeting night on that last Monday of the month, there's a lot of things that may come up during that week that we have to address. They may not be on that agenda at that particular time that comes out in that paper. So we ain't got... We can't run to the paper and say, hey, can you get that? No, they're only going to get to put out what we have time to get them out there. But hopefully this face page, she'll be able to update that on a daily, hourly basis or whatever, and it's Clay County government is what it is. And so hopefully that'll work well for everybody and give them an opportunity that they can go on there and look and see. I've had commissioners even call me and say, hey, when is our next meeting, you know, because right now it is confusing to them, and we may have to juggle the meetings around a little bit in order to get everything to match up with our budget time frame. It has to be run in the paper 10 days and all that kind of stuff, you know, to get before they can act on it. And in this case, they'll be able to, if it's 9:00 at night and they say, oh, when is our next meeting, they can go on there and pull that face page up. And the calendar will be on there for them and everything. So hopefully it'll be a good thing for everybody. And everything.
I did get one little change made in the last week or so. I know when you did a search on Clay County government, the picture of the old courthouse came up, the historic Clay County courthouse, with my cell phone number on it.
All right.
Well, the first thing that people saw was that number over there, and I would get this call. I'm calling from Indiana, and I need to know when my court date is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I think I finally got that. I said, look over at the left side of that screen, and you'll see the circuit court clerk.
Yeah.
See the mayor's office.
Right.
I said, you have the historic Clay County courthouse.
And they asked me about, you know, the page there and what we got on there, and if you look at it, it's the we call it the old Whittlers, you know.
Yeah.
And I told them I like that, and we'll just leave that on there right now until somebody tells us to take it off.
Yeah.
And everything. That's, it looks good.
You know, and if we look last night, there was a major controversy on the entertainment field, and that was they showed a picture of the Columbia old courthouse in Columbia, and some group had complained because Columbia was racist back in 1940. And they're going to have to change that picture.
Yeah.
I thought I'd call them and see if they could use the Clay County courthouse because they didn't build up till after the war.
Exactly. Yeah. That's one of them. What I said a while ago. You know, we got on a battleship here that, you know, we've got to keep maneuvering this ship as we go along and everything.
Can I ask you about one thing here? What's on my mind?
Absolutely.
Do you have any major unfunded state thing that you have to abide by this or anything new along that line?
Yeah, I mean, you got, well, the biggie is your elected official salaries and stuff. That is something that I've always had, you know, an issue with, but there ain't nothing that I've come up with yet that you can change that because it's set by the state statute sets that. And that is an unfunded mandate the way I look at it because the state is saying, okay, when the state increases a salary amount, then that passes on down to the local level for your elected officials and everything. So I told our representatives, I said, there's got to be a time, sometime or another, that's got to cap off. That's got to, you know.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, Thomas, it's just going to keep building up. And you're finally going to get to a point where you're going to have to be raising taxes just to pay your elected officials. And I mean, and we do get paid out of tax dollar and everything. Don't get me wrong about that. But I just, that to me, that is an unfunded mandate that it shouldn't. And I know I may get some criticism about this and everything, but I think that that ought to be left up to that local level to make that decision and everything.
And you know, that is something that, I mean, it gives you guys, and I'm sure that's the whole reasoning behind that. If we just automatically do it, an elected official can't be blamed for doing it.
Yeah.
But that really don't work with the local people. They still figure that, hey, he could turn that down if he wanted to and use that.
He can't.
It can't be done.
Because the taxes and the Internal Revenue Service, they don't like that. For some reason, no, they don't like that for some reason. I don't know, you know, and of course, the state has been real good the last few years, other than that part of it. I mean, but that's something that's been in place for many, many years.
Well,
and
what about the city mayor? Is there anything anywhere that requires a salary for people like city employees? The city officials.
That's set up by their municipal, and they operate under a different act. But their council sets that up. And now, as far as state goes, I'm not really for sure if it's anything like that or not. I may be wrong. I think that's pretty much left up to the cities and stuff. And I think that they can, and a lot of them is based off of whatever, just use the my salary, the county mayor's salary, is based off of a certain percentage of whatever the county mayor's salary is, the city mayor, so much and everything. Now, I don't know exactly what it is and everything, but still, I think that's pretty much set up by the city council, their council, to do that. I don't know that, and I may be, and it's a good possibility I am wrong about this, but I don't know that there's a statute in there that states, you know, a percentage or whatever that the state requires them to have to be paid or anything. So I'm not sure about that. No.
And you know, I know if you watch news, you've noticed that, well, especially in some of the metropolitan areas like Nashville, Memphis, how the state has started trying to take some of the powers away from city government,
mm-hmm.
and you know, that's and turn it over to the state, and that, of course, that just puts another level in there now.
Yeah, and I don't want to really get into the weeds on that or anything, but still, yet I think those people, when you elect your commissioners or your councilman for your district, that's your voice for your area, and so they should be the ones that has that authority to do, you know, make those decisions and stuff. So I don't know. I got my difference of opinion on that stuff and everything. So, but anyway, that.
Well, we all throw it down to partisanship. I mean, that's let's get back. Let's take about one little more commercial.
Sure.
Come back and we'll finish up. I'm not telling you what, they just don't give us enough time.
They don't. They don't.
We'll be right back.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, we're back, Mayor. We've got a few minutes left. Important stuff now.
Well, we talked about the public meetings announcement and getting the notices out to the public and all that, everything. And did have something I would like to run by everybody to notice in our solid waste department is we've had a little bit of an issue, not a big one, but a little bit. We try to go out and accommodate, you know, businesses as far as picking up cardboard, because cardboard's one of our bigger revenues and stuff for the solid waste department. But we've been having some problems with some of the areas, and we usually either have a dumpster out there that you put it in, or we go and we build these little pens, you know, to put up so they can put it in there and everything, and then we'll come and get it. We've been having some to put trash and stuff and just throw their garbage and stuff in there too. And so we've sent out notices to everyone that if you could please, you know, try to keep that from happening, because we can't take garbage in the cardboard, because,
right,
you know,
I mean, not anything.
And if we do that, and first of all, it's harder on the crew to go out and try to get it. And then taking it down there and putting it, we can't, if some of it does get slipped into our compactor down there, it could mess our machine up. And then if it goes through and our vendor finds it out, if they bust some of them open and they find garbage in it, they'll cut us off. So we'll lose our vendor. And so we just ask that, you know, and I know it's hard. I know it's hard for, you know, some people see it there and they'll haul off and throw a bag of garbage or something like that in it and everything, but
first available spot they see.
Yeah, and
sometimes it's just on the ground.
And so if if everyone could, you know, kind of just be courteous, and our folks out there, you know, they don't like to have to, and I don't either, go through and start picking up, you know, going through bags of garbage and stuff like that whenever, you know. So if you can, I appreciate everybody that would just accommodate and help us. We do want to, you know, get the cardboard and stuff.
You know, it's a simple process if you do it like you're supposed to.
Yeah, it is. And but I know, and nine times out of ten, it ain't the people that's got the business. It's somebody else. But if we could kind of, you know, maybe watch it a little bit and everything, we don't want that, because we certainly want to continue to try to work with the people and try to help them out and that on that case and everything. So
yeah, I think a lot of our businesses have their little
place where they put their car doors.
They do. Most all of them do, and yeah. I think a lot of them, and we appreciate that and everything. So, but we have a there's another resolution that we got to update, a resolution regarding our the ambulance service about the convalescent services and stuff. To where that it's we passed this several years ago, but. Now since the county has acquired the ambulance service and everything, we just want to update all of our, you know, our policies and stuff. So there'll be a, there's going to be a resolution on that about updating the convalescent services and stuff about where that you can't have other private, like a, there's a lot of private services out there.
Right.
You know, that could come in, you know, and start trying to pick up, you know, whether it be the, I don't know, nursing home or something like that and everything. But anyway, there's got to be, and it's not just us, it's across the state, you know, that that law went into effect that, but you gotta adopt that law. And, you know, and we did several years ago, but we just want to, like I said, since the county has took the ambulance service over, we just, going over all the policies and stuff, and we thought, well, that's one that's not, that we did, but we might want to update it a little bit. The attorney said you might want to run that back through again and update it and everything about that and everything. So there'll be a resolution on there for that as well. And also we got a lady that I got acquainted with back at one of the conventions that we were at, and she used to be a legislator, and her name is Donna Barnett. And she comes in and she helps you look for lost revenue. And so, and it don't cost the county anything, but if she finds some revenue that maybe should have been going to the county or whatever, and we have about, I know three, maybe four zip codes in our
right,
area.
Right.
And some of that stuff may get sent to another zip code out in, it could go to Macon County, it could go to Overton County, or they vice versa. We may be getting something that should go to them or whatever. But some of the other counties around have used her, and they and she's helped them, you know, find some revenue that has been very beneficial and everything. So she's going to be here on the 31st to talk to the commission and see if they interested in letting her look and see. And if she does, you know, she'll only get a percentage of what she collects for 1 year, the first year, and everything. And then after that, the county will, you know, start, you know, generating and everything, the full amount and everything. So we've got that. It's a very interesting lady to talk to, and a very nice lady. So we've got her coming on the 31st to talk to the commission and everything about that.
Okay, and you know that's very important, because we know that there's lots of things in there that kind of, well, I just got a little voice in my ear. Turn one of them numbers.
All right, we're going to turn that over, and that right there is the one I picked.
Okay, that looks like Owen Browning.
Owen Browning. Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, and you or your representative go over to the Clay County Chamber and pick up that prize envelope, and we will, I guess it's about time that we shut all the doors here at the old building. We got everything maybe stacked up where it ought to be for a while. And
tell everybody to get ready for your Heritage Day coming up. We want to get everybody to come down.
Got some big time news on that. And one quick thing before we go off, we're going to have a Clay County History lecture session. Some sessions are in the courthouse that day. Got some interesting speakers. Mr. Mark Dudden coming in. Mr. Bob Fulcher, who has much to do with Rolly Hole Marbles. And Mr. Darren Shell, who has written a bunch of books. And I'm going to be doing a presentation on the Grover Jones murder trial. So
that'd be interesting.
Yeah, well, I hope it is. We're going to be doing that on Saturday, August the 5th. You're in the old courthouse. So we got a whole bunch more things coming up. But with that, I guess we'd say...
So you're going to be a Walter Cronkite.
Well, Walter was here.
Yeah.
But we will tell everyone, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you. And hopefully we'll meet you again here on WVFB 101.5 Kicks Country. And until then, may the good Lord bless and keep you.
Absolutely. God bless everyone.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.